carry for the next for today just a little bit further on from where we were last week and the week before when I looked at that word or those few words where Peter responds to Jesus at that time when Jesus was calling him and he said, Jesus asked him to do something which is totally unreasonable, totally out of character, totally strange, totally seems totally ridiculous thing to ask him, but Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to let down a net. So nevertheless, whatever's going on around me, nevertheless, whatever is changing and whatever is happening in my life, whatever I'm experiencing, whatever is going on today, whatever the news is reporting, you know, whatever the price of fuel is or whatever, nevertheless, at your word, I'm going to do what your word says. And it's important, I believe, that in these days we need to be so full of the word and so positive in our approach to what is going on around us, so positive in line with the word of God, because his word never changes, his word never fails. So let me just read from Luke chapter 5 and verse 4 through 5. It says, when he had stopped speaking, this is Jesus. Jesus has been speaking. He'd been speaking words. He'd been teaching. He'd been preaching. It's like he's having an outdoor church or church on the beach. Jesus was in the boat speaking to a crowd that were on the shoreline, and he's teaching them and he's speaking the word. And when Jesus speaks the word, it's powerful. So when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon. So Simon had been hearing word. Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why it's so important to be someone who hears the word. We respond and we build faith in what we hear. That's why if we bombard ourselves with or allow us to be bombarded with advertising, and that is their idea, that if you can be bombarded with advertising, it'll get into us and we'll actually believe what they're saying is going to work for us. Whatever's going to change. I don't want to dig myself in a hole. But he says, so Simon had received word. This is Simon who was yet to become Peter, who was the one who was going to stand up on the day of Pentecost and bring word. He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. So Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night, so this is unreasonable. What you're asking us to do is unreasonable. It's crazy. It doesn't go along with what I know and what I've been told and what the report says. It says, we toiled all night and we caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when he had let down the net, when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets were breaking. And so we know that this miraculous catch of fish was caught by Peter and his associates, because they responded to one word or two words, let down, three words, let down the net, let down the net. They responded to a word, and in response to the word, over and above what Peter's feelings were, over and above what his opinions were, they experienced this miracle. And I believe we never live outside of days when we don't need to see the miraculous working power of God. You know, we live in times where a lot of things we can manage ourselves, a lot of things we can do okay, we can get by, but I don't believe we need to get out of the days when we need to see the miraculous working power of God. Things that happen outside of what naturally would happen. And so the more I believe we get around the word of God and we get into the word of God and we hear, you know, faith builds in us. And if Jesus could do it then, he can do it today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's unchanging. And if he did it then, he can do it now. And that's why I believe it's important that we hear these things and we get these on the inside of us. See, And I believe Peter at this point, or Simon as he was then, it's like he got it right from the beginning. And there was something in him that caused him to make that wise choice outside of what seemed reasonable and go with the unreasonable and say, nevertheless, at your word, It's almost like he's saying, well, I've got nothing to lose. Let's do it. Let's go for it. Sometimes I think that's an attitude we need to have. Let's just go for it. Even the natural world, outside of being, you know, born again, being one of these positive people who may be negative today, you know, let's just give it a go. Let's be bold. Let's get out there and just do something. See, you never achieve anything by doing nothing. So Simon Peter, I believe, got it right from the beginning. And it positioned him in a great place with Jesus. He took Jesus for who he was and he trusted him. And it's almost like it's just so simple. It's just such simple faith that he took Jesus for who he was. He just took one word and said, okay, you know, I've heard what you're saying. We've seen things take place. We've seen some miracles. We've seen some lives change. If you can do it for somebody else, you can do it for me. Because the Bible says he is no respecter of persons. If he could do it for Simon Peter 2,000 years ago on a seashore, catching a miraculous catch of fish, he can do a miracle for me, he can do a miracle for you. And so Peter took him at his word, and he totally trusted God. Now, he had many encounters. I think I said this last week. Peter had many encounters with Jesus over the 3.5 years he spent with him on this earth. There are a number of times when Peter was asked by Jesus, or Peter would respond to Jesus, and it was clear that he knew exactly who Jesus was. The time when he had that great revelation, and Jesus said, who do you say that I am? When everybody else is saying this, and everybody else is saying that, some say this, and some say that. You see, a lot of people have a lot of different opinions about who Jesus is. And he was able to say to Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And this personal encounter is exactly who you are. You're the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus said, now you've got it. You understand, you've got a revelation of who I am. And on this revelation of who I am, we can do something. He says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. You didn't get it from a book. You didn't get it by a Google search. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven, and on this rock I can build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When we get outside of who Jesus is, his church doesn't look like it should look. And I think we in these days we have to be careful of who we see Jesus as. It's not on this rock I can build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There is an attack on the church of Jesus Christ. There always has been, and there always will be, till he comes back again. But where there's that revelation of who he is, a true revelation of who Jesus Christ is, that he is Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is not just a load of words. That's a revelation of who he is, of what he means for you, what he means to you. What he is on the inside of you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And on this revelation, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, it saddens us when we see churches going through going through almost tragedies, hard times, difficult times, church going through things the church should never go through. Under such attack, by the enemy who has a purpose to kill, to steal, and destroy. But when Peter had that revelation and said, and Jesus was able to say, on this rock, on this revelation of who you see that I am and who you know that I am, I can now build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Come on, we need to thank God that we can be part of a church who the gates of hell will not prevail against. And everything can come at the church, everything can come at the body of Christ, everything can come at you, but it will not prevail against it. It will not come against it. You need to thank God. And Peter got that revelation. He had that encounter. A number of other times, I love the time where people were leaving him and getting out of the way and leaving and stepping back. The church goes through seasons, I believe, where things happen and things take place, and there's opportunity for people to turn back and walk with him no more. And Jesus had this crowd around him. There were people doing that at that time. There's people who had this crowd around, had this few people around him who got to know when he says, "Are you going to leave me too?" I think as Peter looks up and says, No, we're here. We're here for the long haul. We have decided. We have decided. We made a decision that there's no going back on. We've got nowhere else to go. We've given all for you. We sung already this morning, "I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender." We've given everything up. We made a decision, and we decided. Where else will we get? Where could we go? Because you are the one who has the words of eternal life. And we've come to know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So Peter had these encounters with Jesus throughout his life while Jesus was on earth. And so when he hears this, I believe he's setting himself up. That's a great decision, because we know that that's the point where Peter follows Simon as he was then follows Jesus. But when we receive information, when he received that information and Jesus said to him, "Cast your net out and get a catch." Peter was receiving that information, and he, like we do, would filter it through many things. See, we hear the word of God. You can read a part of the Bible, and someone could say, "Well, that's not relevant today because we live in the 21st century." Some of this was written thousands of years ago. Not relevant to us today. And we filter it through information that we've already established in our minds. We filter it through many things. And when we filter it through many things, it will determine where it takes root in us. In the parable of the sower is sowing seed that is good seed. The words that come at us, it's the word of God. But when it comes through the filter of the soil of our life, it will determine whether or not it takes root in us. And so when it takes root, and whatever takes root in us will affect our forward action and determine how we live out our life. In early years of our lives, we are at school and we have our parents and family or whatever, whoever it is around us, keep bringing us all this information and training us and raising us. And there are things taking root in us, thoughts that take root in us that then determine how we live out our life and affects our forward actions. And all through life, those things are changed. And of course, there are times when you get into your older years and you suddenly realize that some of the things you were taught when you were young were a load of baloney. Then there are other times you think, I should have taken more notice of that because that wasn't anything. That was significant and that was powerful. That is something which I needed to build more into my life. I think people who say that they were little studiers when they were children are telling lies. You know, I think most people in school think they're being told a load of rubbish. Not until you get older that you realize that it was actually wisdom, and it was actually going to set you up for life. Someone who says they were a little swat when they were at school and they weren't distracted by anything other than their lessons is a fibber. And so we have all these things that we filter these words through. So when Jesus spoke to Peter, he was filtering what he spoke to him through the words of his knowledge and his understanding that he already have. See, we filter them through what we already know. We can filter something of the word of God through our opinions. Now, unless our opinions are in line with the Word of God, it's just an opinion which isn't going to have a lot, which we may need not need to be building on. And sometimes we build things, we allow words to come through and are filtered by our culture, or they're filtered by our upbringing, or are filtered by our feelings, or they're already just filtered through something which is an already established belief system. Which could be wrong or it could be right. Aren't you glad that you can change your belief system? You can bring your belief system in line with the Word of God. Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's difficult, sometimes it's challenging, and sometimes it can become offensive to people around you, but you know, you can change your belief system. Bible says in chapter 2, I think, 12, in verse 2 of Romans, not to be conformed to this world, be transformed by changing your thinking or renewing your mind to bring it in line with the Word of God. So when Simon heard these words of Jesus, it's like the Word of God cuts through everything that is in the natural mind and had taken root in him. Cuts right in there. See, this, why? Because there's something about the Word of God that is like no other word. That's why our prayer is that when somebody who grabs a Bible from people who are on the streets this morning, they grab something which isn't just another book. It's just not another bunch of words put together. It's not just another theory. It's just not just another 7 steps to a successful life. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. There's something about the Word of God that is like no other words. Now, when Jesus, already mentioned it, when Jesus had that opportunity to speak to some people in John chapter 6 and verse 63, and those who were listening had got offended with him. You know, to many, the Word of God is offensive because it challenges their thinking, challenges a lot of preset ideas and thoughts within us. When they were offended with him, he said to them, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It says in verse 61 of John chapter 6, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, not his close core of disciples, but when his just tight group there, the wider disciples, they complained about this. He said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were, who did not believe, and who would betray him. And that was a time when some of those walked away. Just left with those few core people who said, are you going to walk away too? Are you going to leave too? No, we've got nowhere to go. We've given everything. We surrendered all. We surrendered everything. We decided there's no going back. We're on this journey. It's almost like we've burnt our bridges. Sometimes it's good for us to remove opportunities to go back to something. That we remove opportunities. We make that separation. So it's almost like in the natural, it's impossible for us to go back. Burning bridges. Burning plows. Burning things, getting rid of things that sustain us in a world outside of the things of the kingdom of God. You know, removing our reliance on maybe some natural force. Putting our total trust in Jesus. We've got nowhere to go. We've left everything to follow you. We've removed every opportunity. Because you have the words of eternal life. And we've come to know and to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there were those then, of course, who walked with him no more. See, his words, the words of Jesus, the words that we have in his word, they command a response. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is living and is powerful. And is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and of marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." See, it's living and it's powerful. It divides, it gets right in and separates. And it can't be ignored. It demands a response. You can't just ignore the word of God. Isaiah 55 and verse 11 in the Amplified says, "So will my word, which goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me void, useless and without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it." See, you can't ignore the word of God. It has power. And it is effective. See, I don't believe that God wastes his words. You may know people who talk a bit too much, maybe. And you think, well, maybe they're wasting some words. They don't need to. How many of you know people who use a paragraph to say what they could say in a sentence? You know, God doesn't waste words. And so when Jesus says to Peter, or Simon as he was then, "Let down your net for a catch," he wasn't just playing about. He wasn't making fun. He wasn't just wasting. I believe he was doing more than just giving Peter a great catch of fish. Sometimes there's more to the words than we initially see. There's more to the word of God than we initially read. Haven't you read the word of God and you read one, you get a revelation of something from the same word, and then you get another revelation from the same word. And you see how word builds on word and word builds on word and word builds on word, and they come together and they just get more powerful. Peter, I don't believe Peter didn't really grasp the significance of his response. I believe Jesus did. You know, Peter, it was just a quick thing. I'll just go with it. Yeah. This is Jesus. I've heard what he's saying. If he can do it for them, he can do it for them. We don't know the reason. Only that Peter was so full of faith. He didn't grasp the impact that day. He didn't grasp the impact that day was going to have on his life. But of course, he was a marked man. See, each and every one of us are marked. Now, God knows everything about you, whether you're here this morning, whether you're watching at home, whether you're in a building, whether you say you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, you know, God knows every bit about you. So we're marked. He knew Peter. He knew the plans and the purposes which he had for Peter. Peter was embarking on a journey with Jesus that was transforming his life, but not just his life. The transformation of his life went further than just his life. He's the one who stood up on the day of Pentecost and saw that incredibly, incredible move of God and the birthing of the church. See, Jesus knew he was on this earth for a purpose. He also knew Peter was on this earth for a purpose. And this coming together, this colliding, if you like, of Jesus Christ and Simon Peter was powerful. So when we collide with Jesus, anything can happen. Hello? When I collide with Jesus, when you collide with Jesus, anything can happen. Now, if you're a Christian here this morning, you get a revelation this morning, it's like you're colliding with the Son of God. And anything can happen. If you're not a Christian and you give your life to Jesus, you know, anything will happen. You see, Suzanne, she collided with Jesus in a little church hall somewhere watching a film. Changed her life. Because she made this response. When I made a response, when I was maybe 12 years old or something in a little church. When you made a response. It wasn't just a raising of the hand and praying a prayer. That's a changing of your direction. Jesus knew he was on earth for a purpose. He knew Peter was on this earth for a purpose. See, it wasn't by chance that Jesus was on earth, and it wasn't by chance that Peter was on earth. Jesus was on earth for a purpose. We're coming up in a few weeks' time to Easter. What an incredible time that is for the church of Jesus Christ. For the world. You know, if I hear the word Good Friday Agreement, I think of Northern Ireland. But Jesus, God had a Good Friday Agreement way before any Good Friday Agreement that took place just across the water. He had a Good Friday Agreement. Which changed my world, changed your world, changed the world. Because his only son, Jesus Christ, who lived on this earth for 33 and a half years, hung on a cross and changed the world forever. Never forget the significance of how the cross changes everything. And Jesus knew that. He was bringing Peter to that place. He was guiding him. He was giving this opportunity to experience everything which he came to this earth for. See, Jesus could see Peter, or Simon, sorry, as he was then. He could see his future with the cross in mind. He sees each and every one of us with the cross in mind. Before we were born again of the Spirit of God, if you're Christians, you know, he saw us on this earth with the cross in mind, knowing what he did for us. And the cross changed everything. And Peter was this man who, you know, we could spend it all day here talking about what the cross meant. But Peter was positioning himself to get to that place with Jesus and following him through. And he was this nevertheless, he got to this point where he was nevertheless at your word. He made a few mistakes. But because of the power of the cross, mistakes can be forgiven. Past can be wiped out because of the power of the cross. because of the cross, healing can take place. Breakthroughs can happen. Miracles can take place because Jesus didn't just stay hanging on a cross. He was buried and he rose again, giving us newness of life. And Peter is in this opportunity where we're having an opportunity to go with an unreasonable word. He chose a reasonable word. Sorry, he chose an unreasonable word. And because he chose an unreasonable word, it is setting him up to be ready on the day of Pentecost. I think I mentioned last week, or maybe it was the week before, how Peter, you know, he had the opportunity to not get as far, if you like, as the upper room where the Holy Spirit fell. But he took hold of the word of Jesus. He held on to that unreasonable word and said, we're going to wait in Jerusalem. The word is so powerful. Just one word. Jesus spoke, stars be, and they were. Isn't that incredible? God spoke, stars be, and they were. We have the world we live in because of one word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And I believe there's times when Peter, you know, he had this encounter with Jesus there on the seashore, having his faith built through hearing of Jesus speaking Word and all the things he was hearing him speak and seeing him do. And when the opportunity came for him to be a respondent to Jesus' word, he stepped out. See, I believe we've all got situations around us, each and every one of us. I don't believe we can just say, well, there's that person's got a word, they need a word. We've all got stuff going on in our lives. We live in days that in many ways are very uncertain. Maybe like never before. Maybe for the last 75 years. We've come into a place where we're living in days that we could say naturally are very uncertain. But there is one thing that does not change, has not changed since in the beginning was the Word, and is still the same today. And it is the Word of God. And in many cases, it seems very unreasonable, because we've been filled with we fill everything, we allow everything, the word that comes at us, to be filtered through our opinions, preconceived ideas, you know, our past experiences, backgrounds, what happened to somebody here, somebody there. We filter everything through something which is sometimes outside of the Word of God. I believe each and every one of us, whether you're here in the building, whether you're online, whether you're part of this at some other time, we are living in times where we have to be so strong, I believe, on the Word of God. I know there's people in the building this morning, people are watching online, and people have got stuff going. People have got personal stuff going. People have got, you know, corporate stuff going on around us. We've got things that are way outside of our control naturally. I think 2 years ago, today was the first day we had to do church. I think we did it from our home. The streets are quiet. Just about get ourselves almost out of that whole scene, and then Ukraine gets attacked by its neighbor Putin, throws a lot of other things into what we could say were uncertain. But the Word of God is certain. And just one word can change things. Just one word. You know, and all these things that are going on around us can come to a place where they will affect us personally, or can affect us personally. So each and every one of us, I believe, need to be strong in the Word. And when there's opportunity to go with a word, we filter it through the Word of God. Because just one word can change a life forever. Just one word can change a life forever. Is there anybody here this morning? If you're watching us from home, please don't just ignore us. We're talking to you. We consider you just part of as part of us where you are, as if you're in the building. So I believe there's people at home who've got God's stuff going on in your lives where you need a word from God. The word which brings life. The word which brings healing. The word which brings provision. The word which brings peace. Against so many things that are going on around us. Maybe you're here in the house today. You're in the building here this morning. You say, you know, I need a word from God. I need a word. A word which will turn a situation. This word that Peter went with turned a situation around. It seemed totally unreasonable. Because Peter said, you know, we've been fishing all night. I'm a fisherman. I know this stuff. My brothers here, they're fishermen. My cousins, our family members, you know, our friends, the people around us. Everybody in this town knows a little bit about fishing. And you just turned up as Jesus. You just turned up as a carpenter from Nazareth. Could anything good come out of Nazareth? Yes, it can. He turned up as the Word. The Word which became flesh and dwelt among us. And just one word from God could go totally outside of the natural and bring about the supernatural. Just one word. Is there anybody here in the house this morning who says, you know, stuff is going on in my world around me, would say something. But the Word of God says something different. And that one word could change everything in my life. Is anybody in the house who says, I need a word from God? If you're watching us online and you say, just type it right there so we can see it, and we'll mix our faith with your faith. We'll declare this over you this morning. Let us know that you just don't have, we don't even know what that is, but there's some things we know about. Don't deny God the opportunity of His word affecting your life. Because just one word can change everything. I believe that one word that Jesus spoke to Peter, let down your nets for a catch, repositioned Simon Peter in a place that caused him to see the most miraculous things take place outside of the natural. His miraculous catch of fish. Totally unreasonable. Blind eyes opened. Stood in a graveyard and said, Lazarus, come forth. Come forth, just one word. Centurion. I understand authority. You just need to speak a word. I'm a servant, but we made well. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Just one word. Just one word. Let's stand on our feet. But if you're here this morning, we're not going to ask anybody to come to the front here this morning, but if you're here this morning, and you need a word from God, I believe you need to declare it. It's just one word. It can change everything. That same word, which was in the beginning. That same word which said, Lazarus, come forth. The same word which said, be made well. In these uncertain times, naturally, they are not a surprise to Jesus. They're not a surprise to the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. So Peter said, nevertheless, got all this stuff going on in my life. At your word, I'm going to go with your word. I'm going to go with your word. I'm going to go with your word. Come on, let's just worship him for a moment. He's a miracle-working God. He came all the way through the COVID thing and, you know, his word still stood. A lot of things going on around the world right now. Huge amounts of suffering. Huge amounts of injustice. But one word from God can change everything. Just one word.
Just one word.
Come on, declare it this way. If you need a word from God, declare it. You declare it this morning. If you're in your home, get on your feet maybe. Just one word.